This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 22, 2018, the fourth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That presentation by the Holy Spirit of the exclusivity of salvation in Jesus Christ and in Him alone is Catholicism 101. We should all understand that. It doesn't matter what you hear from this, that, or the other source. Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. Not might be saved, may be saved, must be saved. It is about Jesus Christ and Him alone. And now you can take that ball and run with it and say, oh yeah, you know, let's talk about all people who don't receive Jesus Christ. They're not saved. That's what it says. We don't need to belabor that. Let's delve into what that verse says a little bit more. It says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We, as Catholics, we are going to keep this in-house for this discussion. We need to get a grip on what the name of Jesus entails. St. Peter, that first reading starts out with him answering a question. It doesn't give us the question. Don't like that one. Okay? What is the question that's posed to St. Peter? By what power or by what name did you do this? Speaking of his healing of the crippled man. A man who everybody knew was crippled, had been crippled since birth, who every day was brought by his family to the door of the temple to ask alms. He is now jumping around the temple, dancing, running back and forth, praising God for what happened to him. These folks that are asking Peter this question, the Sanhedrin, they're asking him this question. They know something supernatural has happened. They know this is a miracle in the purest sense of the word. By what power or by what name did you do this? They understand in the supernatural realm, if something like this happens, a human being must invoke a power either in of himself or a name. Invocation of names is objective and meaningful. When we invoke a name, it can be very positive. St. Peter can look at a cripple and go, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise. He's done it twice in the name. He raises people from the dead, Tabitha, by invoking the name. The invocation of the name Jesus Christ performs miracles. It did then, it still does now. This name of Jesus Christ is something that in our day we don't see the dramatic, usually, not that it doesn't happen somewhere, sometimes, miraculous healings, because those were confirmatory as to the authority of the apostles. But that name of Jesus Christ invoked saves souls. It turns souls that are in darkness of this world, who are dead in trespasses and sins, who will go to hell for all eternity. This invocation of this name changes them into children of light who will spend eternity with God. This is what the name of Jesus Christ can do. They're asking, by what power and by what name, or what name did you do this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he answers that. And, you know, put it in context. He is standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is like the Supreme Court of our day. Could you imagine a fisherman standing in front of the Supreme Court? You got to be not just a lawyer. You got to be way up there, be talking to the Supreme Court. And the fisherman standing in front of them, and in the joy and confidence of the Holy Spirit, he not only answers their question, but he accuses them of deicide. He accuses them of killing God. They know something supernatural has happened, and his response is, by what means this man was healed? Let me tell you. And again, listen to the question. By what power or what name? They didn't say, how did you do this? They were very specific. By what power, in and of yourself, or what name did you invoke to cure this crippled man? He says, the means by which this man was healed was the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Notice he just doesn't say, in the name of Jesus. This whole deal with the name of Jesus, it's not a magic formula saying a word. All right? He gets very specific about it. For one thing, in his context, it's not Jesus, it's Yeshua, Joshua. There were several, kind of a common name. Okay? So it's just, in the name of Jesus, he walks. Well, which one? What Yeshua running around? He gets very specific. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Christ is not his last name. Christ is who he was, the sent one, the Messiah. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, who was sent by God, this one from Nazareth, whom you killed, this is the name that was invoked to heal this crippled man. That is the presentation of how powerful this name is. How much respect for this name we ought to have. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and one of the characteristics that our Lord Jesus Christ says of himself as the Good Shepherd is, my sheep know me, and I know them. Do we really know him? If you are his sheep, you do. You must know the gravity and power of this name that you can invoke to do the same things that St. Peter did. And I don't mean healing cripples, because as I said, that was confirmatory for a time. Not to say it doesn't still happen occasionally, but not often. But you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, and people that you know who are not Catholics will become Catholics. People who, well, that person will never go back to Mass. They've been this or they've been that for the past 25 years, 30 years. That couldn't happen. Invoke the name of Jesus Christ and see what happens. If you do it in an understanding of who this great shepherd is. That's what the name means. Jesus, God saves. There are a whole lot of people named Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, okay? That's a name that their parents gave them. St. Mary and St. Joseph did not give Jesus that name. They were told, this is what his name is. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. That thing that will be conceived, you will be called the Son of God. And you will call his name Jesus. God saves because he is the Savior of their people. Why was that? Well, he's just telling them what to name him. Newsflash. He's the eternal Son of God. He had always been Yeshua. God saves. It's not his name, it's not a title, it's not the moniker, it's who he is. This name Jesus is not just the pronunciation of some syllables. It is the very will of God. It is the very life of God. It is the very person of God. It is nothing less than his very presence in this world. A lot of times I stand up here and go, this is not a moralistic homily. Guess what? This is going to become a moralistic homily. If we understand the profound nature, the power behind what this name is, not means, but is, the way that it is used in our time should crush us. And this is why I said I wanted to keep this in house. Because a lot of people, yeah, I can't believe the way the pagans use God's name in vain. So I talk to clerics all the time. And I hear, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. I can't. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. The second commandment. What's the big deal? Let's start as to why this is such a big deal. It's not a big deal for me. I say this because I fret for souls. The second commandment, the second thing that God says on the mount to Moses, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's the only commandment where God threatens you. God's merciful. He doesn't threaten anybody. Okay, you want to go there? All right, he tacks a promise onto it. I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. I will not hold him guiltless. That's once. You take my name in vain, you're held accountable. I will not hold you. It says, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But when he says, don't take my name in vain, he says, I will not hold him guiltless who does this. This is how important the divine name is to Almighty God. The apostles ask our Lord, Lord, how should we pray? Well, pray this way. Address God, our Father who art in heaven, and then start asking him for things. Make petition. What's the very first thing? Hallowed be thy name. I want you to think about how many times a day you hear, you read, oh my God, Jesus Christ. How many times do you hear that a day? Read it a day. Hear it from television a day. Every single time that it happens, God is not holding someone guiltless for using his name in vain. That is how pervasive the darkness is in this society. The second thing that God says to Moses, the first thing that God tells us to ask our Lord when we pray, the darkness overshadow. What's the big deal? This is a big deal. The Roman Catechism says about people who use the name in vain, we are so blinded by darkness of error as not to dread to blaspheme his name, whom angels glorify. Men are not deterred by this commandment from shamelessly, daringly outraging his divine majesty. At any moment, to such lengths has this impiety been carried that there is scarcely anyone who, even in the most unimportant and trivial matters, does not profane the most holy name of God thousands of times. That's scary. If he doesn't hold you guiltless for once, think of the people that you know that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, constantly. And guess what? It doesn't say, whoever says my name in vain. Oh, I just write OMG on my texts and stuff like that. It says, whoever uses my name in vain. He will not hold you guiltless. It devalues the name of God. How can one invite someone to Mass and say, you need to come to Mass? Why? Well, because we worship God there. You know, and we should go worship. Well, so I got to go to a building and, you know, on Sundays and worship this God. He's that important. I have to do it. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm starting to get this vibe that this might be important. And then on the way there, oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, the guy pulled out in front of me. Oh my God, I dropped something. Jesus Christ. That person is supposed to take any value. Okay, I'm supposed to worship this God, and you just, well, I don't mean that. It's a different thing. I don't mean it. That makes it even worse. It would seemingly be worth it to some people to go to court and swear by the name of God and then lie, you know, to keep yourself out of trouble, keep you from going to prison, keep you from getting a fine, help a friend out. You know, there's motives there. At least have a motive for denigrating and blaspheming God. Not just, as it says in the Catechism, for unimportant and trivial matters. Like if I drop something, I bump my elbow on something, somebody pulls out in front of me. In a text, it is that important. It devalues God. It undercuts your witness. It's horrible. Well, it's a habit. Break it. Must be nothing new under the sun, because St. John Chrysostom talks about it. He talks about it being a habit. And he says, it will cost you nothing to break it. Won't cost you 1 cent. Doesn't make, you don't have to work at it. All you need to do is be a little bit diligent. Is engage brain before you do mouth. What are you saying? You know, you're putting your soul in danger. I mean that literally. You're putting your soul in danger. I will not hold him guiltless who does this. What's the big deal? It's practical. It's tremendously practical. Your church tries to, or always has in the past, tried to manifest how important and how much veneration we have for the divine name. Every time the name of Jesus Christ is uttered in the liturgy, you will see a slight head bow. Why? Because it shows that you're just not saying, I'm just not reading some words on a page. When I come to this name, which is used frequently throughout the Mass, when I hear that divine name, that's an important thing. So there's a slight head bow. We venerate the name so much that we also do that, are required to do it historically when the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary or the Pope is said. Well, no, that's because Jesus is. That's how much we venerate the name. Because when we utter the name of the one through whom the Word came from heaven into earth, the Blessed Virgin Mary, just the fact that she was involved in that, we venerate the name of Jesus Christ so much that we will bow the head to her name. We bow the head to the Pope because there's nobody walking the face of the planet who more directly represents Jesus Christ to us, who manifests Jesus Christ. And there have been good and bad, but because of their office, they manifest Jesus Christ. And so when the name of the Pope is said, because he represents the name, that's how much we should think of the name. This is a scary thought. I am well acquainted with a gentleman who works at the Islamic Center over on Goldenrod Road. Almost call him a friend. Haven't seen him in a while, but I am well acquainted with him. We have spent a lot of time together. This man is just not Joe Muslim, who grandma and grandpa are Muslim. This guy's hardcore. He's a case for them. Okay? We have had hours-long theological discussions. And guess what? You're going to talk to a Christian, you're going to talk about Jesus. Every time the Muslim says the name Jesus, he bows his head. The Muslim who has a half-Jesus bows his head because his half-Jesus is seemingly, obviously, more important to him than Jesus Christ as God is to us. I've had people leave this place. I remember when we used to do that when I was a kid. I can't help myself. Why did you do that? That is a sign of respect. How come you don't respect him anymore? Hey, we do it liturgically. And I would actually submit, don't make a big production out of it. Jesus. If you're in conversation, that's ostentatious and it's prideful. But if you're talking to somebody and the name comes up and you give a little head bow like that, they will notice. They'll notice that you do that because they notice respect. Like I said, the Muslim does that. The devout Muslim. That is sad. It is a huge deal. It is very practical. It elicits from within us the joy and the confidence that St. Peter had to stand in front of the Sanhedrin and say, yeah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, witness to him, and then accuse them of killing him. What would that get you back in the day? They'd hung Jesus Christ on the cross for a lot less. He didn't directly look at them and accuse them of anything, aside from misunderstanding their faith. But St. Peter's standing there accusing them of deicide, murdering God. The name of Jesus Christ will strengthen and guide you in your witness. St. Jose Maria says, Christians who let themselves be browbeaten or inhibited in the face of those who do not accept the word of God show that they have a very poor idea of the faith. They don't know the shepherd. If you truly know God, if you truly know what Jesus Christ did for you, you will get nauseous. You get physically sick when you hear it just once from the TV, from someone else's mouth. Guess what? You can actually use the darkness to your benefit. This is how important the church takes this whole subject. Every time, and think of how many times a day, as I said, you hear this or read it or something like that. Every time you see it, read, said, whatever, you can get a partial indulgence. A partial indulgence for bowing your head and saying under your breath, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not too hard to memorize. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think of how many partial indulgences you can get throughout the day. And this is across the board. It's just, oh my God, Jesus Christ. It's everywhere. This darkness is pervasive in this world. I was born in the Midwest. The only Spanish I was when I got in high school. And when I went to the Marine Corps, started hanging out with Spanish-speaking people, going to their houses and hanging out with the guys and everything. You know, I'm an auditory learner. You know, so the more I hear things, you know what the first thing you get around a Spanish conversation, what's the first phrase you're like? Adios mio. Adios mio. Adios mio. Constantly. It's blasphemy. Sacrilege. He will not hold you guiltless. One time. Time after time after time. These are the things that we have to understand. It's a horrible thing, but use it to your benefit and get a bunch of indulgences every single day. Okay? Do that. But understand how gravely important and how profound it is to know the good shepherd of the sheep, by whose name you get to go to heaven, in Father and the Son and Holy Ghost.